And that's actually a cycle I can see with many people. It's a generalization that many people go that path from being control freaks to being frustrated, to being angry, to being depressed. And because so much is demanded of us in our modern world, because we have to go so fast, we've got so many things to do, we think we have to control everything, that's why depression is becoming a huge problem in our modern world. Once people are depressed, how do you treat it? Again, this was told to me by my brother when I first visited. I've been visiting London a couple of times. That's where I was born, that's where my family are. Went to Thailand a month for about 7 years, and then I went to visit my family about this time of the year, because it's like a Western tradition to go and visit your family over Christmas. Now in Penang, it's Chinese New Year, you sort of go and visit all your family. So Christmas was a time you went to visit your family. So I travelled from Thailand all the way to England about sort of December and January. And if any of you have been to Northern Europe at that time of the year, you know, number one, it's cold. Number two, it's miserable. Number three, the sun comes up about 9 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock, the sun's gone down again. Most of the day, it's dark. And even at noon in December, it's just still overcast, grey and dull. I remember London at that time of the year, in December and January. Never go there that time of the year. Because I noticed that the skies are always overcast, and it's just all grey. The trees have lost their leaves. You've just got these grey barks of trees. All the buildings made in this London stone, it's all grey. And all of the floor, the roads and the paving stones are all grey. And people, they dress up in these big overcoats. No one wears bright red or yellow. It's all grey. Everything is grey. Even the tea they drink, all grey. Everything is grey. No wonder people get depressed. And actually my brother told me that there was a clear correlation between people getting depressed in Northern Europe and that time of the year. And so they actually gave it a name, seasonally affected depression. No, SAD, sad. You know, even these psychologists have a sense of humour. And so many people got depressed at that time of the year simply because everything was grey and boring. And it was just a neurological thing. And you know the cure they had for seasonally affective depression? They got all these English people who were depressed at this time of the year. They put them in a room with bright lights, with brightly coloured walls, with scenes of Hawaii and bright yellows and orange, just like in like a playgroup in the kindergarten. And they made them dress up in these Hawaiian shirts and bright fluorescent dresses or trousers, and they played bright music, loud music to them. And that cured their depression. All they really need to do is have their senses stimulated to be able to see more, see deeper, to get their senses more powerful. So they weren't seeing grey, but they're seeing things more beautifully, in more depth. That's exactly how meditation works without the Hawaiian shirts. Because what you're really doing, you're learning how to see more deeply, to appreciate more. Because you know, if anyone ever gets depressed, you give them something to eat, and it's the same, it's bland, it doesn't have any taste to it. They watch a movie. What do you mean a movie? Same old thing, it goes on all the time. You go out for a walk, just a tree. How many trees do you have to see? They're all the same, bit of wood, bit of leaf. What's the point? You can't see anything. You play the favourite music. It's just sound, that's all. Just what's the point? They go and look in the refrigerator. Anything to eat? No, nothing to eat. The whole thing is full of food. They surf the TV, nothing on. And when it's 26 channels. When you are depressed, it's nothing grabs you. And all one really needs to do when one becomes quiet, like becoming still, like I was saying, walking up that hill, and you're becoming very aware, you start to literally brighten up your senses. You see more, you feel more, you know more, and whatever you see is more interesting and also more delightful. Which is why when people learn how to meditate or they practice meditation, things like depression disappear. They don't get depressed anymore. And they also know how to overcome that in the future. Just relax. Make the mind still. It energizes the mind. You see deeper into things. As an aside, for those of you who are meditating here, this is one of the important laws of meditation. Just how things work. And I've told some of you in the interviews this. This was first said to me by my own master, Ajahn Chah in Thailand. He said, if you want a fit and powerful body, then you have to exercise it. Now do sport, do exercise, run or whatever, go to the gym. And then you get a fit and healthy body. But he said, if you want a powerful mind, you have to learn how to keep it still. If you keep it still, that's where the power of the mind comes from. If you think too much, worry too much, you get very weak in your mind. And the reason why that works, this is the physics, the science of the mind, is that there are two halves to your mind. One is called the passive mind, which is mindfulness. That which knows, that which can hear me right now, that which can feel your body or feel the wind from the fans, that which can know. That's called a passive mind. I call it the knower, consciousness, mindfulness. It just receives information clearly. That's the knower. The other half of the mind reacts to what it experiences. It thinks, it moves, initiates action, worries, plans. That's called the doing mind. So there's two halves of the mind. The active mind, I call it the doer. The passive mind, the knower. And you may already understand that most of your mental energy goes into thinking, planning, reacting, doing. And especially at work, in our modern life, we have to do so much, think so much, move so fast, that most of our mental energy goes into the active doing mind. Which means the other half of the mind is starved of energy. Our knowing mind just doesn't get a fair share of our mental energy. Which is why it gets dull. Why we can't see clearly. Why food doesn't taste as delicious as it should. And why people don't appear so beautiful. Why you can't enjoy life so much. Because the passive mind is dull. So what we do in meditation to actually improve that mindfulness, that passive awareness, the passive part of the mind, is we actually let things be. We don't control our mind, we don't control our body, we let it go, we relax. Because when we say, let things be, relax, do nothing, you are suppressing this active mind. You're not reacting, you're not initiating actions, you're not thinking, you're not planning, you're not worrying about what's just been said. You're doing less and less and less. And as you do less and less and less, the energy of your mind, the mental energy, instead of going into doing and thinking, reacting, is now free to energize your passive mind. It literally starts flowing into mindfulness. Which means mindfulness starts to wake up, see more, know more, feel more, and see more happiness too. You literally get energized. That's what was happening to me when I was walking up the mountain to my monastery. By going slow, I wasn't doing very much, and then mind was becoming more energized as well. So you could actually appreciate much more of what you were seeing. That's what happens in meditation, because you're going slow. The mind is hardly moving. Your mind energizes. Your mindfulness increases enormously. And as it increases enormously, what you see starts to look very beautiful. On that same retreat I talked about, that first meditation retreat in Cambridge, every morning we were allowed to go for a walk for 1 hour as exercise before breakfast, after the early morning meditation. Because I was a student of that city, at that university, I knew the place very well. I knew where the local botanical gardens were. So, every morning, when I went for my walk, I decided to go to the Botanical Gardens, a beautiful place to go to for a nice walk. It wasn't that far, maybe about 5 or 10 minutes from the boarding house where we were on retreat. But the very first day when I went into that Botanical Gardens, I was stopped, entranced by this clump of bamboo at the entrance. I'd never seen such a beautiful clump of bamboo ever before in my life. You know that in Chinese watercolors, there's always a clump of bamboo there. Because clump of bamboo are just so slender and beautiful, just the way they taper and just bend, just gracefully. You know, it's an artist's gift to try and represent that on a canvas or on a piece of paper. And this particular clump of bamboo was the most beautiful I'd seen. Just the way that it sort of bent according to its weight and gravity, and the way the leaves were just so slender and graceful, you know, almost feminine. And the colors of green were just so profound. And I was just blown away by this clump of bamboo. And I was just standing there staring at it like some idiot for about 10 minutes. When I thought, if anyone sees me, they cart me away. They'd admit me to some mental hospital for the deranged or think I was on drugs or something. But fortunately, there was a bench close by. So I quickly sat on the bench and just carried on observing this incredibly beautiful clump of bamboo. I was watching it for about 40 minutes before my internal alarm clock, which told me that breakfast was in 5 minutes' time, told me it's time to get up and go back. So I went back for breakfast. For the following day, I went back. The same thing happened. Of those 9 days, for 8 days, the other day I just went for a walk by the river, so I really did need some exercise. For 8 of those 9 days, instead of having exercise, I went to that bench and just stared in amazement at the most beautiful clump of bamboo I've ever seen in my life.